check that you haven't changed it, because it's on Psalm 57, but it's still Psalm 71, right? The reading this morning is even older than Michael. Sorry, mate. I'll probably come to regret that during the talk. It's the whole of Psalm 71. In you, Lord, I have taken refuge. Let me never be put to shame. In your righteousness, rescue me and deliver me. Turn your ear to me and save me. Be my rock of refuge, to which I can always go. Give the command to save me, for you are my rock and my fortress. Deliver me, my God, from the hand of the wicked, from the grasp of those who are evil and cruel. For you have been my hope, Sovereign Lord, my confidence since my youth. From my birth I have relied on you. You brought me forth from my mother's womb, and I will ever praise you. I have become a sign to many. You are my strong refuge. My mouth is filled with your praise, declaring your splendor all day long. Do not cast me away when I am old. Do not forsake me when my strength is gone. For my enemies speak against me. Those who wait to kill me conspire together. They say, God has forsaken him. Pursue him and seize him, for no one will rescue him. Do not be far from me, my God. Come quickly, God, to help me. May my accusers perish in shame. May those who want to harm me be covered with scorn and disgrace. As for me, I shall always have hope. I will praise you more and more. My mouth will tell of your righteous deeds, of your saving acts all day long, though I do not know how to relate them all. I will come and proclaim your mighty acts, Sovereign Lord. I will proclaim your righteous deeds, yours alone. Since my youth, God, you have taught me, and to this day I declare your marvelous deeds. Even when I am old and grey, do not forsake me, my God, till I declare your power to the next generation, your mighty acts to all who are to come. Your righteousness, God, reaches to the heavens, you who have done great things. Who is like you, God? Though you have made me see troubles, many and bitter, you will restore my life again. From the depths of the earth, you will again bring me up. You will increase my honor and comfort me once more. I will praise you with the harp for your faithfulness, my God. I will sing praise to you with the lyre, Holy One of Israel. My lips will shout for joy when I sing praise to you, I, whom you have delivered. My tongue will tell of your righteous acts all day long, for those who wanted to harm me have been put to shame and confusion. This is the word of the Lord.
Do you ever get anxious? It seems the writer of this psalm is anxious about one thing in particular. He's worried about getting old. He says so twice in this psalm. He knows that no one lives forever. And in verse 9, he tells us that he's apprehensive about the future, his own future. He knows as he gets older, he may have difficulty coping with the increasing pressures of life. That's why he pleads with God, do not cast me away when I'm old. Do not forsake me when my strength is gone. A bit later in verse 18, it seems he's scared in case God will reject him. Perhaps he's worried because of his past sins and failures. So he pleads with the Lord, even when I'm old and grey, do not forget me. there's not much else. But even when I'm old and grey, I preached on this verse, my farewell sermon before I retired from my last pastorate at the age of 65. And I didn't want them to forget me. I wanted them to not so much forget me, but I didn't want them to forget the Lord that I serve. Actually, I'm still in my 70s. Until tonight. And I sometimes wonder how I'm going to manage when I get really old. Perhaps this farmer thinks he's a failure because he doesn't deserve God's care and support. But that doesn't put him off to referring to the Lord as my God. Life isn't easy for him because he has many enemies. And they want to harm him and they want to ridicule him. Verse 10 and 11a, he says, my enemies speak against me. Those who wait to kill me conspire together. It's awful to think that people may be ganging up against you. You know, when you come into a room and suddenly the conversation changes and you think, they're getting at me. The psalmist felt like this. People are not only conspiring against him, but they're doing it together in a group. And they say, says this psalmist, God has forsaken him. You see, what he was worried about was he dreaded the day when he'd be walking down the high street and someone would call out, where's your God now? What good has your religion done to you? Don't you know God is only a delusion and only weak-minded people follow him? Do you ever get anxious about what people will think or say about you when things go wrong in your life? Verse 20, the psalmist tells us that he's seen troubles, many and bitter. Life hasn't always been easy for him. Perhaps you've been the same. Perhaps you've not always had a smooth pathway through your life. Just over 40 years ago, things went badly wrong for me. I was happily working as a pastor in a small Baptist church in southeast London. Every other week I was going up to Broadcasting House and broadcasting on Radio 4. I wrote articles to various magazines. I taught in a local girls' comprehensive school. And the church was growing, little by little, but growing in number. And then trouble hit me. I resigned from the pastorate, and we all moved down to Oxfordshire in the hope that it would keep my marriage together. But it didn't. I suddenly found myself as a single parent with four young children to look after on my own. I wasn't very good at cooking, but I could iron. I could iron anything like handkerchiefs and tea towels and pillowcase, anything that hadn't got sleeves or arms in it. So that I could pay the bills, I got work in a factory, a noisy factory, a yogurt factory. A factory where the women working there did their very best to try and make me swear, and they nearly succeeded. I hated it. I felt useless. Coming from a church in London where everybody wanted to ask my opinion and help for all kinds of things, nobody cared. I was on my own. Like the psalmist, I was discouraged, disillusioned, and weary. I had no idea what the future held for me, if there was a future. And once I nearly drove my car into a brick wall. I felt so desperate. I remember one day an acquaintance said to me, Michael, what has this done to your faith? When I wasn't feeling particularly holy, but I answered, why should should this affect my faith in God? God isn't responsible for my trouble. Do you know, as miserable as I was, and as uncertain of my future, I was confident of one thing. The Lord would keep his promise, and he would not forsake me. He didn't leave me alone, and almost 38 years ago now, he gave me the wonderful Jenny to be my lovely wife, my companion, the mother of my two younger children. When a certain canon of the Church of England left this area a little while ago, he shocked me. He shook my hand and he said, "Thank you, Michael, for all your wisdom." I was shocked because I knew I hadn't got any wisdom. All I got was having lived a long time. And you know, I may not have been wise always, and certainly not clever, but despite all my failures, the Lord never left me, not for one second. Haven't you discovered that when you've been in trouble, and maybe your friends have turned against you, that despite everything else, the Lord stood by you? When you're like the psalmist who said of his God, "You have been my hope, sovereign Lord, my confidence since my youth. For from my birth I have relied on you. You brought me forth from my mother's womb." Haven't you discovered that whatever your problem in life is, you could say with the psalmist as he did in Psalm 37, "I was young, now I'm old." Some of you are not very old. Some of you are even older than me. "I was young and I'm old. Yet I have never seen the righteous forsaken or their children begging bread." You see, I was blessed because I'd known the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior and friend for very many years. As a teenager, I'd responded to his love by confessing my sins and putting my faith in him. And at the age of 17, I'd been baptized in obedience to his command. I knew that whatever happened, the Lord would never leave me nor forsake me. Next Sunday morning, I'm due to be preaching at All Saints on Philippians chapter 1, verse 27. In that verse, Paul, who is in prison at the time, Paul, who is restricted from going out and preaching the gospel, Paul, who isn't able to pastor and mentor all those people that need his help, Paul, who is in prison and chained to four soldiers, in turn they're changed every few hours, he who is restricted in every way, he wrote, "Whatever happens, conduct yourself in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ." Now, hasn't that been your experience? Whatever happens, however bad your situation, you have always wanted to live in a way which pleases God and honors him. The author of Psalm 71 had the same attitude. He said, "Do not be far from me, my God. Come quickly, God, to help me." And he asserted with great emphasis, "I shall always have hope. I will praise you more and more. My mouth will tell of your righteous deeds, of your saving acts all day long, although I know not how to relate them all." We don't know who wrote this psalm, but if it was David, then he had great cause to be angry. He had cause to be angry because God had appointed him as king of Israel. God had anointed him and put him in that position, but someone was trying to take the throne from him. Someone was trying to usurp his authority. And knowing that made David feel very vulnerable. He realized that words can inflict awful wounds. One of the most stupid sayings is, words can never harm. What's that? "Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words can never harm me." They do harm. They can be terribly afflicted. And in old age, perhaps it's more difficult to shake them off. Maybe because, I've written this, maybe because those who are elderly have more time. I'm looking forward to that time when I have more time. But anyway, I'll read what I've written here. Maybe because those who are elderly have more time to think about their problems and less energy to retaliate. What made things even worse for David was that his enemy was his own flesh and blood. The person who was trying to take the throne from him was Absalom, his own son. He was plotting to become king in his place. David must have been distressed as Absalom's popularity increased. It was almost too much to bear when a messenger came to him and said, "The hearts of the men of Israel are with Absalom." Can you imagine how David must have felt? He wanted to do his duty, and someone was trying to take it away. I suspect that many of the people started to think, as he said in verse 11 of this psalm, God has forsaken him. Now, if that kind of thing happened to you, how would you handle it? Those of us who are of riper years, and some somewhat overripe, can look back and recall those times, perhaps there'll be many of them, when things have gone wrong for us. Terrible times can make us feel bitter. They can make us feel resentful. They can drag us down into despair. But this psalmist didn't take that road. Instead, he said, "In you, Lord, I have taken refuge. Let me never be put to shame. In your righteousness, rescue me and deliver me. Turn your ear to me and save me. Be my rock and refuge to which I can always go. Give the command to save me, for you are my rock and my fortress." Like some of us, he was old, fearful, and apprehensive about the future. In addition to that, David felt that people had turned their backs on him. Yet there was one thing of which he was certain, and that was that his God would never let him down. He was his rock and strong support. I've been thinking about, what's it going to be like tomorrow when I'm 80? Well, I've had a lot of humorous advice, mainly from my sons, not from my daughters. Lovely poems from my daughters, but from my sons. Lots of humorous advice about my cape being seen from outer space, there's so many candles on it, things like that. But I was struck by this, written by a man called Bill Vaughan, whoever he was. But he wrote this: "By the time you're 80 years old, you've learnt everything. You only have to remember it." In verse 18, the psalmist speaks about being old and having grey hair. Yet he wasn't thinking, "Poor me, how am I going to cope? Will I end up in an old people's home?" We went out for a meal yesterday. I said in the first service to a young friend of ours who was 65. No, she's only 60, young slip of a thing. Anyway, we went to her retirement party and her birthday party, and it was in a very posh hotel down in Basingstoke, and we drove in. There was a big name saying the name of the hotel, and next to it a smaller one saying the same name of the hotel, saying nursing home. And Jenny just turned to me and said, "We're going to leave you here." Well, the psalmist doesn't think like that. His desire is to declare God's power to the next generation. In my last pastorate, I had a few older people. Now, this will surprise you. Had a few older people who complained that the songs were too modern and that the music was too loud and nothing was done for us people. But not all the older people were like that. I think of one older lady who said, "We've all had our time. Now let the youngsters have the style of music that helps them." And one 99-year-old lady said quite openly, "We liked Goey songs when we were young. What's wrong with these modern songs?" Now, she was a very keen Methodist, and she loved the hymns of Charles Wesley. But her favorite song was a fairly new one at the time. And it goes like this: I am a new creation, no more in condemnation. Here in the grace of God I stand. My heart is overflowing, my love just keeps on growing. Here in the grace of God I stand. And I will praise you, Lord. Yes, I will praise you, Lord. And I will sing of all that you have done. A joy that knows no limit, a likeness in my spirit. Here in the grace of God I stand. Evelyn knew, it's right, Matt, I'm trying to take your job. Well, he's gone. Evelyn knew the responsibility that old age brings. And with that, it is to be an encouragement and a help to those who are younger. The psalmist says, even when I'm old and grey, do not forsake me, my God, till I declare your power to the next generation, your mighty acts to all who are to come. Here in Wofford Church, we are privileged to have a large number of children and young people coming to our meetings. The psalmist knew that he had responsibilities to support and encourage the upcoming generations. He knew that youngsters took note of how you behaved. And I remember when I was teaching, every time a child held a door open for me, I always made sure, because my mum brought me up this way, to say thank you. Whoever they were, even if it was one of the naughtiest children, and we did have naughty children, that surprised you, even one of the naughtiest children, I would always say thank you. But I remember one teacher, I was going to say a lady teacher, but that sounds a bit sexist. I remember one nameless teacher came through the door with a big pile of books, and a lad held the door open for her, and she just walked past with her nose in the air. I thought, what a bad example. You know, these children are watching how we behave. They're watching how we behave when things go wrong. It's easy to behave well when everything's going right, but when things go wrong, they watch us. David, the author of this psalm, knew that he had a responsibility. We may get very feeble at the end of our days. We may be forgetful. We may feel useless. And we may become a burden to our families. But we have one advantage over David. He could only look forward in faith to the coming of the Savior. But we can look back. We can look back into the time, and we know that the Lord Jesus came from heaven, that he lived a life on earth of doing good, and he was hung up on that cruel cross of Calvary, and he died to pay the price of our sins. Did you notice the second and third verse of this psalm? He said, rescue me in your righteousness. He didn't say rescue me in your pity, rescue me in your mercy. He said rescue me in your righteousness, the righteousness of God, that God always does that which is right. He spoke like that because he knew he had up no righteousness of his own. He had sinned and drifted away from God very many times, but he knew that one day in the future, God would provide a perfect sacrifice for sin, and that if he put his trust in him, then his sins would be washed away and would be clothed with the righteousness of Christ through the atoning death of the Lord. Are you getting anxious because of the future? If you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, you have every reason to be anxious. If you're unsure whether Jesus is yours or not, then I plead with you not to leave this. Don't go out those doors till you've got right with God. There are people here wanting to pray with you, willing to pray with you. There are people wanting to talk to you and point you to the Savior, the only one who can save you. Just remember that when you're anxious and fearful, take the advice of the psalmist in Psalm 42, another favorite psalm of mine. Why are you cast down, why so disturbed with me, within me, he says of himself. And then with great resolve, he asserts, put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Saviour and my God. So whatever you do, put